Welcome to a special edition talk show here, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you very much for staying with us this morning as we have certainly some special guests in studio. We will open the phone lines a little later. We will make that announcement. If you want to jot the phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment or whatever to our guest today. Our guest today in studio, the owner, chief executive officer, known as the boss here. Carl Wilson is in studio along with the current general manager of Grants Pass Broadcasting is Brian Diotti. And Carl, you have a special announcement this morning.
Well, I do, Chuck, and thank you for working me into your schedule. It's taken us a couple of days to land on the same square, and I'm glad we finally did today. Just want to pass the word that after 66 years of Grants Pass Broadcasting being in my family's ownership in one form or another, I am selling. And the company is going to be sold to the gentleman who is sitting to my right here, Brian Diotti. It's basically an in-house sale, Chuck. This transition has been going on for a long time. When I came out of the legislature a couple of years ago, we had some things to do. KRRM, the addition of that station, was something that we had to do and then get it established and get it going. And during the last couple of years, I've been gone a lot. In fact, in the last number of years, I've been gone a lot because the legislature ate up a lot of time there. And it was a natural transition that I should look to selling ultimately and then ultimately to Brian, my friend here. Brian knows the business. You know, when I haven't done this before. I've not sold a radio station or a family business before. And I look at that, I just have to say, I think we made a wonderful choice here. When you sell a radio station, you can either sell to big radio, big corporate radio, or you can sell it in-house if you can find someone who can be trusted with a legacy like that. And for me, it was a very simple thing because Brian has, as you know, Chuck, essentially been running the company on a daily basis for a number of years now. And that had to be because I was gone. I was in Salem with the legislature during that time. Somebody had to run the company during that time, and it was Brian. And Brian has been a very teachable guy. He's learned his lessons well. Been with us for 20 years, and he knows this business. I think furthermore, he knows the community, and he knows what makes successful radio. Because in many cases over the last couple of years, I've gotten a call from Brian, and he says, "Hey, I want you to know what I just did." Well, you know, the thing is, that is better than it sounds, because his instincts are good. Almost all the time, they match up with mine, and I think that's a good thing. And so, anyway, Brian, congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. Like I've said for years, I'm just trying to keep the place from burning down.
Okay, very good. Well, you've done a good job of that. So, really, Chuck, that's kind of where we are. Just decided that it was really the time to do it, time to hand it over to younger, energized people. And I leave with knowing that the staff that we have right now in 2023 is the best staff that we have ever had in the history of the company. And I have been here since day one. I was 5 years old, but I was there the day that the station opened up. And I can just honestly tell you, after knowing a lot of staffs over the years, the staff that we have right now is an amazingly talented group of people, some who our listeners will never know exist. They don't have a high profile, but nonetheless, they know what it takes to run successful radio.
Okay. With that, I'm going to give Brian an opportunity just to step up and say, first of all, are there going to be any changes in store for what happens here, and can I have a raise?
Can you have a raise? We'll talk about that in the future.
I see.
As I've told Carl, there's a template for success here. There's no reason to recreate the wheel. We're going to continue to do what we've done for years, and hopefully I can be at the helm and keep things running in the right direction.
All right. We've seen this coming for a while, but I never thought we would be here doing this. But at any rate, You have a unique perspective on radio in that I know a lot of people have been in this business for a long, long time, but you have been in business since you opened your eyes, essentially, with Big Jim in radio from the time you were born through here. Can you give us a sense of the history there and some of the things you've seen?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to believe I've reached a stage in life at 71 here where I've seen so much change over the years in this business. I think one of the things that has concerned all of us over time, and that is big corporate radio moving into smaller towns. And usually when that happens, the staff gets cleaned out, which is an unfortunate thing, and they change format to something that's simple to do. We've never done anything the simple way. We learned from our forebears in this business years ago that it's a people business. You've got to treat people with respect. You got to love your own employees. You've got to just be with them every day in the battle. And, you know, the whole process of radio has changed so much, because when I started, and you can relate to this too, I just remember when I started on the air at the age of 15 that I would just kill my throat because we had virtually no commercials that were taped. Everything was done live, everything. And so you would not only jock the music, but you would read the news at the top and the bottom of the hour. And when the commercials came, very few times were they recorded. You just had to read out of a book. And so there was a special pain that came from being on the air for 4 or 5 hours solid with no anything recorded. It was difficult, but you know, that's the way it was. And so, you know, over the years, I've been able to see us go from a period of time where virtually no commercials were taped to a time when they were taped, a time when you played music on wax, we called it wax, but it wasn't.
Vinyl.
Yeah, it was vinyl. And so, you know, we played all the music on records. And then came the wonderful time when we converted over to compact discs, which just, it was great. It was so much fun. We even went through a period of time when we used great big gigantic reels to play our music. Did that for a number of years. And so, you know, there were times when the announcer was often sitting here smoking a cigarette while on the air, which is funny. You know, we had an experience with a beloved office manager who basically told us one day, hey, smoking's bad for you, and I just can't go in that studio anymore. I just can't do it. So, you know, we had to have another person run public service announcements into the studio. You know, so, I mean, so many, many changes. And times when the studios were not even air-conditioned, and that was really tough on a hot summer day. So there were just so many things, some of them big, some of them little, but they just, when you stop for a moment and think about it, really sounds kind of radical. You know, there's something that I was thinking the other day that we used to do here on KJO, when KJO was a standalone operation, and it was for a long time. Something called the hospital reports. Every day at 10:05, we would place a call to Southern Oregon General Hospital or Josephine General Hospital, and the nurse would come on the line, and she would give the names of all the people who had been admitted in the last 24 hours or dismissed in the last 24 hours. And, you know, to me, when I look at that situation, that tells me how much radio has really changed over time. The things that you could do back then, and you just don't do them anymore.
Your father, Big Jim, affectionately referred to around here as Big Jim for many, many years, certainly cast a big shadow, and you fell under that shadow. What was that like with that gigantic personality over you?
that was difficult. I was kind of like the Todd Marinovich of radio broadcasting, and that is from my very first days, my very first moments. My dad had it in his mind that I was going to be in the radio business, and then ultimately I would be his successor at one time or another. As you know, and as you've alluded to, he was a giant personality. It wasn't just the size, the physical size. They call him Big Jim for a lot of reasons. And so it was pretty well foreordained that I would be in the radio business. I thought that was cool when I was young, but when I began to see some of the things that we had to do to be in the business, there was a time when I had to be on the air when I had had major knee surgery about 3 or 4 days before I had to go back on the air. And man, I'll tell you, that was a difficult thing. I remember being in a straight leg cast, being in total agony while being on the air and doing a shift, because that's what you did. And when you were Big Jim's kid, that's what you did. There were a number of things like that that were just difficult and they were hard. And so I started out as a kid thinking this was really going to be fun. And then it went through a long period of time when it wasn't fun and I really hated the business. And I'm trying to think, how am I going to do this? And so ultimately, Dad makes a good judgment call in 1983. Now, bear in mind, I came out of the Navy here in 72. So this was 83, 11 years later. And I'm just hating this business. And so he gets this idea, maybe we should go to the NAB convention, National Association of Broadcasters convention. Maybe we should go down there and take a look and see what's going on in the rest of the world. So we did. We went down to Vegas with our wives, and I fell in love with the radio business on that trip, because I got to see there's a different world out here. There's equipment you can buy that we didn't even think about buying. There were so many things you could do. You know, I'm talking to guys in business suits who know all about music that they shouldn't know anything about, you know, because they're too old. There were just so many things, including seminars that just explained to you how to do radio in a different way. And so I've got to say, I just fell in love with radio on that trip. And I think it stayed that way ever since. You know, we learned a lot on that trip. And it was a good thing, and it was a healthy thing.
All right, we've reached a point here where we have to do something that I know is dear to your heart and to the general manager's heart. We've got to play some commercials. We'll be right back. Want to know? Welcome back to the special edition talk show. Special guest Carl Wilson at the microphone today, along with general manager Brian Diotti. And you were talking about how you just fell in love with radio at that RIB convention with Big Jim. Overriding influence that Big Jim had over you and what this radio station finally became.
Yeah, you know, I think I got to give my dad a lot of credit. He came up in the early days of radio when there was a lot of hardship there. Of course, he said it was a lot better than picking cotton, and it was, and I knew exactly what he meant there. But I got to hand it to him. He knew himself well enough to know that he was a restless guy. He was doing other things while on the radio. There was a time he got his real estate license while on the radio back in the 70s. He did that. He raced quarter horses all the time. I didn't like horses. I liked motorcycles better. And so that's what I did. But he gave me a lot of room to be myself ultimately. He and Elsie Parker, his morning show partner and good friend like a brother for years and years. They worked together, famous morning show here. I wasn't raised on a farm in Oklahoma, so I couldn't talk about the same kinds of things that they did. And, you know, being his kid was a difficult thing, because about half the time people would call me Jim on accident, you know, just stuff like that. But I got to give it to him. He realized his shortcomings, and he was restless. He could get restless easy and become complacent with KJO, and I was anything but complacent after 83 when I learned what you could actually do with a radio station. It was an exciting thing. But something that almost nobody knows, and that is that in 1964, my dad decided he had had enough of his business partners. He had a very onerous relationship with a couple of business partners for 10 years. And it wasn't pleasant. It was, in fact, very unpleasant. And so Dad went to Alaska 1 week to see what Alaska was like, with the idea that we just might sell our share back to these individuals, and we go to Alaska. And so he did go to Alaska, and there was some kind of issue up there when he went to Alaska. I think it was the earthquake.
I was going to say 64 was the earthquake.
Forgive me if I'm a little off on some dates, because a lot of this happened a long time ago. And as I recall, he was there when the earthquake happened and barely got out of the airport before it was shut down. So he was looking to go, looking to move, but that simmered down as my star started to rise, and he began to hand off more opportunities to run the company and gave me a sense of autonomy. And I have to really tell him that's that was great, the autonomy. That's what I needed. And then ultimately we moved to adding other stations and different formats, and that was fun.
I've got to go back and ask you a question earlier when you mentioned that you went on the air about 15 years old.
Yeah.
And I understand you took a lot of flack when you were on the air then.
Oh, I did.
And is that one of the reasons why you hated radio so much and it still came back?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
People would say some pretty rotten things because I wasn't him.
Jim.
You know, I just did things differently. And here I'm a kid of the 60s and 70s, and he's a kid of the 30s and 40s. And there were a lot of things. You know, I had some issues with him when I came back from the service, which were not pleasant. I came back a very angry man from my time in the service, and he and I had some clashes. It was difficult. But, yeah, people were pretty rough on me. There were... But I remember my dad chewing somebody out once who called to drop a bomb on me on the telephone there. And I remember Dad just jumped all over that guy. And, well, I can't repeat what he said, but nonetheless.
Many of us know from experience.
Yes, that's true. That's true. He did have a temper at times.
All right. And you've mentioned, of course, Elsie Parker, a long time cohort here. Any remembrances of Elsie you'd like to share?
Well, you know, the two guys together were the perfect thing. And, you know, they since they grew up on adjoining farms in Oklahoma during the Depression, and they essentially worked with each other forever, they knew what the other was going to say before they said it. Elsie was a wonderful guy. He was like a second dad to me. He was just an even-tempered man, and I appreciated that. And he was like a second dad. I remember he and Dad working together on the flood of 64 here. And I saw, as a 12-year-old kid, working the phones that night during the most critical nights of the flood in 64 here. Those two guys were amazing as they worked together. And they really, to me, set the template for what a community radio station is supposed to do when the chips are down. And those guys had a real burden to do it right.
All right. You mentioned those two and their incredible timing, but you've seen a lot of people come through here. And I think that's one of the attractions of this business is you get to meet a lot of people coming through the front door to get your ear. The local representatives, lawmakers, celebrities. Any remembrances there? Anyone really stand out?
Well, one person who stands out, and a lot of people listening may not even know who I'm talking about. But one time, Johnny Weissmuller came by the
Superman.
Radio station. No, he was. Was he Tarzan?
Tarzan.
Tarzan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He stopped by for an interview one time. That was really, really quite fun. We didn't get a lot of strangers coming by, here in Grants Pass. We didn't. We weren't on the radar for a lot of famous people, but you know, I guess the people that I will remember more than anything else are the unusual folks who got a job here as their careers were in decline in larger markets. As an example, there was a guy named Alan Cook, who was on television in Atlanta for a lot of years. And he came here and applied for work, and my dad hired him. And he had a great big heavy voice, and I remember he would say at the beginning of every news slot at the top of the hour, it was always, "Good afternoon, everyone everywhere. This is Alan Cook reporting." You know, he'd always start out the same way. And so, yeah, Alan was one of those guys who sticks in my mind. There was another guy who came up from Los Angeles who thought he was the greatest thing that radio had ever produced. And he got a job somehow, some way. And the first day he sat down on the air, we had an electrical storm in the afternoon. He was doing the afternoon shift, and there was a very nearby lightning strike. And the guy he was on the air doing a show, and he squealed. He squealed like a stuck pig, as my dad would have said, and took off running out of the radio station. Well, that was his one and only day on the air. Yeah, so there were almost everybody who gets involved in this business is memorable in some way, you know?
All right, we have about 2 minutes left here before we have to take a break for the news here. You mentioned the 1964 flood here. Is that one of your most proud moments, or would you bring some others into play here?
That was a huge moment. That was a great big moment for us, the 64 flood, which really made a giant impression on me. And I think that people in the community just really came to appreciate what the attitude was that we've tried to replicate over the years. The forest fires. One of the forest fires that was just horrible a couple of years ago. We received a thank you note from the people of Cave Junction that contained hundreds of names thanking us for doing what we did and going the extra mile on reporting on forest fires, when back then some of them were very dangerous and really imperiled Cave Junction greatly. So yeah, the forest fires have been a big deal over time.
Right. Moment you're most proud of?
I'm not really sure, Chuck. I think probably adding KLDR and KRRM. You know, that would be it for me.
All right. More coming, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. Carl Wilson will be here in the next half hour on KAJO Radio, special talk show.
Welcome to the Grove.
Welcome back, everyone. Special edition talk show. Special guest today, the current owner and chief executive officer, Carl Wilson, has announced the sale of Grants Pass Broadcasting, and we've been kind of reminiscing here this morning. And as we get into this, I know memories just keep flooding back, Carl.
Well, they do. And Chuck, there's another thing that happened that you may remember as well, and it was before you came here. And it was an issue that came up in 1971, and the government ran the wrong EBS tape. And they ran the wrong tape, basically indicating that our nation was under attack and we needed to do something about that. In our case, we were not a primary, we were a secondary, so our role was to shut the transmitter off and walk away and clear the airwaves for the stations that were designated primary. So when we got the word over the teletype that we needed to go to the authenticator package, and forgive me if I'm not exactly factual here, we looked there and, oh my goodness, this is a for real attack, you know? And so I got to thinking, maybe I better go outside and take a look. So I put a record on. I went outside and looked at the sky, and no contrails, no missiles, nothing like that. So I got to thinking, what should I do? I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to turn the transmitter off. Well, it was a funny thing. I was just weighing. So is my dad going to kick my rear end if I shut this thing off, or what? And he probably would have. But the funny thing was, I wasn't alone that day. Hundreds of radio operators in the country did the same thing. Went outside, took a look, didn't see anything, came back in and just kept doing programming like normal. Well, the FCC was not happy with that because it showed that the EBS system didn't work, because nobody was going to believe it. And so that's why now when the tests run, the government runs the tests. It's hands off for us. We can't touch that thing. They take over our radio stations and make those things happen. But back then, you could choose not to do it. But if you weren't going to do it, you were going to have to, in this case, join thousands of other radio operators making a case for the FCC on why they chose not to do it that day.
Did you have the little red envelope that say only open in case of emergency?
Yeah.
Did you ever open one?
Well, no, I didn't. Not until that day, but I was sure tempted to do that. I think another memorable day for me was the day of the Challenger disaster. The space shuttles were carried live on the radio for a long time, and we did that, but they were getting to be ho-hum. And so on that particular fateful day, I wasn't going to do it. And then at the last second, I decided, yeah, I think I will do it. So we did the Challenger launch live, and I was glad that we were on the air for the aftermath, because that was a tragic thing. Riding my bicycle to work at KJO, I remember my head freezing. I wore butch haircuts back when I was 11 years old. And so I would ride out to the radio station to answer the phones on Saturday morning. I got my buck and a quarter an hour, which was great. And so I did that for a...
That was minimum wage at the time.
Yeah, it was. And so I was, I always remember freezing my head riding out there. Jim Fanning and George Calvert, two police officers, they worked for Josephine County Sheriff's Department. I remember them coming out to talk to me twice because I was riding my motorcycle too fast on Rogley Lane to and from work. And both of the guys came in together one day, and I really appreciated them. They were good men, and I appreciate the way they handled it. But they just, that second time they just kind of said, hey, this, could we just not have you do that anymore? And so they got through to me that time. So
I won't ask, Hal. You've seen so much history with radio all compressed into your lifetime right now. Where do you see radio going right now? Or what's the future of this industry?
You know, everybody always predicts that radio is going to die.
They've been doing that since 33, haven't they?
They have from the very beginning, and radio always figures out how to live, which I think is pretty exciting. You know, there were times back in the old days when you'd get a postcard from somebody in Sweden saying, hey, I listened to your radio station. I heard you say this and this and this. Would you send this card back and let me know that it was really you? And so we used to do that all the time, but now people listen to us all over the world through our apps all the time. So, you know, you don't get those postcards from people overseas anymore. But, we broadcast everything we do on the internet. So, you know, my cousins could listen to me, relatives anywhere could listen just like they were right here. So, yeah, you know, people have still discovered over time that folks have not abandoned radio. They're still listening to radio. They're listening to the commercials on radio. So we're still able to serve our wonderful clientele, people that realize radio does work, because these guys relate to their market. They spend a lot of time caring for people and things. And as a result, people stay with us because they're interested in what our people have to say, what our people will inform them with. And so, yeah, it's I just look for this thing to keep on going, because we've figured out how to use the internet in our favor. It's not our enemy. It's actually been our friend.
All right. Any programming changes that you can see happening here on an industry-wide basis?
I don't really see anything at this point in time, as long as you work to stay relevant. And that has always been the issue with us. And you know, from sitting through a million staff meetings, Chuck, our desire here has always been to be relevant. Our attitude is, if we left this community, would the community suffer if we did? And, you know, I think I can unequivocally say the place would suffer. The city would suffer indeed if we were to go, because we just fill a lot of roles and do a lot of things.
Okay. You're, of course, listening to our chief mentor here, our executive officer, the guy who's been signing the checks for a lot of years. Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate that. And we're going to continue right after this word.
Save.
Welcome back. Special edition talk show featuring our CEO, Carl Wilson here, who has just announced the sale of Grants Pass Broadcasting. That's not effective yet, but I'll let him go into some details here. What went into the decision at this point, Carl?
You know, I think I love this place so much, I wanted it to be fully run by people younger than me. And, you know, since we made the conscious decision to engage in an inside sale, as I'll call it, and that's selling it to one of our own, it just made more sense that now's the time. You know, I love this business still, but I don't have the energy for all the things that I love about it. And I haven't been able to be on the air for a couple of years due to some issues. You know, hey, we're being honest and open today. I've got a hiatal hernia that, you know, my voice is being attacked all the time. And I never know what I'm going to have from one day to the next. And so I haven't been able to do that, and I love that. Always love that. And so haven't been able to do that, and it's time for younger people really to carry it forward. Brian Diotti here, who is my friend and 20-year employee, he's going to know what to do. And he's got the energy to do it.
Grants Pass Broadcasting has always been a family-owned operation here, and family has spread out a little bit here. How does your family feel about this? And we can go back to your offspring.
Sure.
Matt, your late brother.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I want to mention Matt today because my younger brother was our sales manager, and he was a great sales manager for many, many years, but he left the business a couple of years ago and sadly passed away a couple of years ago as well. My sister was never involved in the radio business. She was never really interested in it at all, but my mother really wanted my dad to leave a portion of the business to my sister. And my sister and I get along extremely well and love one another much. And you know, my sister, upon the death of both parents, got part of the action here. And after having it and owning a portion of the business, a minority portion, she just said one day, you know, I don't like this. You know, I don't really want to be a part of this. And here, take it. And so she gave me those shares of the company. And after buying my way through several changes here, that was a wonderful thing for my sister to say, hey, take this. And so I did gladly, and will ever thank her for that. My wife, Melinda, she has been my wife since 1972. She has served countless dinners at home when something happened news-wise and I had to take off in a high gallop. I don't think I have ever stayed home during an electrical storm, a big one here in the community. The thing was always to run to the radio station. So she, even when the kids were little, had to deal with that and constantly me on the run when things would happen. And we covered all of those things. And so anyway, I just want to mention her and my appreciation and love for her, because you know the business, Chuck. You're always on the move.
This is 24/7, 7 days a week, and when the phone rings, you have to go. I told my wife that very same thing.
Yeah.
So what lies ahead for Carl Wilson right now? Is there something you care to share with us? Is it just improve that golf game? What?
Well, you know, I did start playing 2 years ago, and I really enjoy it. It's been a lot of fun. It would be easy to say, well, you know, we're going to move to Oklahoma or Texas, because in my heart of hearts, I would love to move to Oklahoma. I was there last week. Yeah, I've been there in good weather, bad weather, tornadoes. We used to go back all the time to my hometown. And it would be easy for me to say that's what I want to do. But I don't see that happening quickly. All of my children are in Salem. And I live in Salem already 8 days a month, probably 9 days a month, because I have a home there. And so we have enjoyed living in Salem, and that's what we do about 8 to 9 days a month, which is delightful. So we're always going to have a foot in Salem, because that's where the entire family is. We're orphans here. We have no relatives here because my wife's sister, Jana, passed away 3 years ago, something like that. So I would love to spend more time in Oklahoma. I really would. There's some things about that state that I really appreciate. Oregon's on a pattern of terrible self-destruction, and I'm really concerned. When you get away from Grants Pass and go to the Midwest and find out that vagrants are not everywhere, you realize, wow, this is kind of pleasant. I didn't realize how vagrancy in my community in Grants Pass was like a weight on my shoulders constantly. And it really is. And I'm just so disappointed with the direction that we at least started with. And so I'm off on a tangent, my first soapbox of the day. But
it's still your soapbox.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I loved going back there to my hometown where you don't have that. You don't have people taking their clothes off, sitting down at the intersection of Carl Albert Parkway and 3rd Street. You know, that just does not happen there. And so anyway, that really beckons me there, that kind of thing. So anyway, it's going to be Grants Pass in Salem, you know, right. I'm sure. I'll spend more time in Oklahoma, but probably as a visitor and not a resident.
I see. We mentioned Salem, and that brings up another topic here that we probably should have covered earlier, but you made the transition from being a public broadcaster and a businessman into politics. And how did the radio station intermingle with all of that?
Yeah, you know, I was never a born politician. I was kind of an accidental politician, and probably why I didn't stay around longer, because I wasn't that good at being a politician. But, you know, to get my brother and my dad to consent to let me leave this business to go do that, where I'm in Salem for the better part of 3 terms and then 13 years off, and then I go back after my partners are gone. I really appreciated that opportunity. It was a great privilege to serve the people of Grants Pass and try to serve the people in Oregon. And it was a great experience. I'm glad I did it. Sometimes I think I wasted my time doing it because of the spiral that Oregon has been in for so long. But nonetheless, I am thankful that they let me do it. And I appreciated the people I met. Got a chance to work with a lot of folks, and I enjoyed it. And I think they would say that they remember me as a really reasonable guy. And I look back at them, and for the most part, many of them do what they do for good reasons. Other times, it's the best job they've ever had, and that's why they stay.
I know you've got extended family out there who consider themselves family, and I've probably never met you personally. I've been following you probably since you were 15 years old. What do you say to those people right now? Thanks. Is it a Bob Hope? Thanks for the memories. Where's your head right now?
It really, yeah. Where's my head? Boy, I'm a lot more emotional about it than I appear to be. I am needing a lot of prayer time and talking to Jesus about this, and I'm listening. And so I am just thankful for the opportunities that I've had. Thanks for the goodness that you exhibited toward my family while we were in this wonderful position of being able to be in radio in a small town. It is just a special thing that we will never forget. It's been tied to my identity as a human being for so long. I know that the Lord's going to be faithful and help me work my way through this. But nonetheless, it's a weird one to try to get used to. I haven't gotten my head around not being here.
We have about 5 minutes left, and that's a very short time to open the phone lines. But would you like me to open those phone lines now, or
let me just say one? We'll take that caller right there, okay?
Okay.
But before we do, let's welcome this caller to the air. I just want to mention once again, Brian Diotti is who is going to be purchasing this, and he's a trusted friend. Trust him like a brother. I know he's going to do a wonderful thing with this. He's been a good learner, and he's just learned his lessons well, and he knows what makes radio work, and he's been doing it by default for about the last 3 to 4 years anyway.
Okay. All right. Official, coming up, I think, January 2nd is what I'm hearing is the official date.
We're aiming for that, but if it closes later than that, I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right. We have a caller holding on. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for Carl?
Good morning. I'm in my middle 30s, and I've been listening to you guys for the better part of 10 years. I guess I'm part of the younger crowd here, and believe it or not, there are some of us that still just turn on KJO and just listen to it all day long, and we listen to the Tuesday talk show and whatnot. I just had a quick question. I missed the beginning. I wanted to know if it's going to be similar or if there's going to be a lot of changes happening or if we can keep going down the route that we're going to be able to know what's going on news-wise in town and hear the commissioners talk and everything else. Is it going to stay the same?
Yep, it is. And I really thank you for asking that question because Brian knows that he'd be a nutball to change anything dramatically. And he doesn't like being a nutball. So.
Thank you, Carl.
Copy that. We're all on the same page here. We enjoy you, and we thank you for the years of your dedication to the area, and you understand the area very well.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate you, and we wish you luck.
Well, I really appreciate your call. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your call, and we probably have time for at least one more quickly. Bear in mind that we're coming down to the end of our program right now. Number is 541-4.
What is our number? I don't remember.
472-1270. Golly. It has certainly been a trying one. Carl, you have more to say, I know.
Well, you know, our caller who just called a moment ago is very aware of the art form of Keijo. And programming Keijo is an art form. And that is that you have to continually move the demographics down to meet the target audience. And I remember a guy sticking his head in the front door at the radio station a few years ago, and he said, "Jim," he said, "I just don't much like the music that Keijo plays anymore." Dad said, "Hey, there's a reason we're doing what we're doing. Most of us are dead."
I could hear Big Jim saying we'd never play rock and roll on Keijo radio.
Well, those days have changed.
No lightning bolts, Jim. Honest. All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, time for one quick phone call. It's 541-472-1270. We made the major announcement, the pending sale of Grants Pass Broadcasting, all three radio stations, will happen sometime in early January. This is the official announcement today, and we've certainly enjoyed having Carl on. And I'll just give you the last 2 minutes, Carl.
Well, all right. Thank you. And once again, all I can do is just thank all of you folks in the audience who have helped us over the years. Thank you for loving KLDR and KRRM. They've been delightful additions. They've been so fun to add to what we do. And, never really dreamed we'd have KRRM. And it turned out to where we could. Everybody was happy with the deal, and that was a delight. And it has really become a jewel in our crown, I'll tell you. And then KLDR playing today's hits. I'm to the point where I stick my head in the door now and say, "Hey, is that good?"
I've got one phone call here.
Sounds good.
All right. Good morning. You're on the air. You have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, this is Richard. And Carl, I just want to thank you for your years of service, the community on the Gospel Rescue Mission Board. I enjoyed serving with you on the board, and just really appreciate all the years on the radio and in the boardroom at the mission. And you've just made a huge impact on this community that's going to live for a long time.
Richard, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And my friend Richard here is of the Eagle fame, and I know many of you read that. And Richard, serving with you on the Gospel Rescue Mission was a great thing. And, you know, if I want to get on my soapbox again for just a moment, I would say if you want to make a dent in what's going on here, get yourself to the Gospel Rescue Mission and enroll yourself there. You know, it's crazy that is sitting there with 50% capacity just because people don't want to sit there and hear a gospel message. I don't get it.
All right, Carl, we're essentially out of time here. I'm going to take a moment here and just think. I believe I can speak for all of the staff here at Keijo KLDR and KRRM. And I want to say thank you very much for making this a great place to work and keep us informed on what happens and what the golf handicap is.
Yeah, I'll do that. And I'm not golfing well these days, but I am still golfing, so I'm not giving up. But anyway, thank you, everybody. We appreciate it so much. Your goodness shown to my family over time. And running with this crew here at the radio station has been, this present crew, is the most fun thing I have ever done. So thank you.